Brian Kelly is not doing a great job coaching this team. I wish there was some other reason for what I want to talk about at the beginning of this live stream to be about anything other than coaching, but he cannot manage a game. The timeout on the goal line is one of a gazillion things we are going to talk about today. You give Vanderbilt a lot of credit. They were the better team. They did deserve to win this game. And on top of all of that, you look at Vanderbilt and what they were able to do offensively. It was what we expected them to do, to not throw in the direction of Monsieur Delane really at all, to leak their tight ends and run a lot of misdirection, and we couldn't get lined up properly. We need to have a conversation about Harold Perkins. He's just not a good football player. I keep going back to 2022 Perk, it's just not coming back. I mean, we have to start talking about what actually happened in 2022. And then, you know, in 2023 and 2024, it was mostly not great. And then today, it was about as disastrous of a game you will see from an LSU off-ball linebacker. You get into Berrien Brown. What an amazing fall from grace after an amazing start to this game. The drop to end the game, and then the selfish decision to get into a fight at the goal line, which I think forced LSU's hand. It didn't necessarily force their hand. They could have just gone up and ran another play. But other greatly coached teams, when they're on the goal line, their players are getting ready for the next play. Instead, we're fighting each other instead of getting ready for the next play. And then we blow a timeout. We substitute Chris Hilton in at the goal line. For what? For what? I don't understand what we are doing as a coached team. The LSU offensive line, actually give them some credit. They actually did block some people. We actually were able to establish a run game. Now, the long Caden Durham run had more to do with the play design going up against the defense that we were up against, but they also fell apart with DJ Chester having to step in, and then Weston Davis, of course, fell apart. He had some of his better pass sets in this game. But to start off with a positive, Garrett Nussmeier was phenomenal. I do not want to hear any Garrett Nussmeier slander at all. He was nothing short of incredible in this game. Now, can we nitpick a few underthrows and ball velocity, and we're still not hitting deep vertical shots when some of those could be there? Sure, we can do that. But Garrett Nussmeier was under immense duress for a good bit of this game, and he almost pulled us through to a victory today. So I don't want to hear any Garrett Nussmeier slander, because I have done plenty of that and I felt like it was justified. But the truth is, he was who we expected him to be, a number 18 that fought tooth and nail and didn't make stupid decisions. Were there a few of those that you would like to have back? Sure, but he's a quarterback. He touches the ball in every play. So there's going to be some of that, but it buries the lead. It buries the lead. All of that, because I like to be fair. I like to shout out a few positive performances. West Weeks was also really good in this game. I also thought Devon Keyes did some good stuff, even though he was in bad spots. Y'all, LSU, right now, in the Southeastern Conference, played in the Southeastern portion of the United States of America, where everything is supposed to mean more. We are by far the worst coach team in the SEC. It is not even close. I do everything on Power Hour SEC. I watch all these teams. There is not a team in the Southeastern Conference that is more poorly coached than we are. This was a disastrous Blake Baker game. Disastrous. And I understand we were at the disadvantage of Vanderbilt coming off a bye week and us not. And that does play a role. And this was our first 11 a.m. game. And you do factor all those different things in. But those are just excuses. Championship teams don't have excuses to point to. Our coaching staff makes so much money. And I'm not a pocket watcher. I don't make a fraction of what they make in a day. Okay? But the truth is, we were so misaligned defensively. Where the final Diego Pavia touchdown scamper was one of the worst defensive looks I could remember. And it was very similar to the long touchdown we gave up versus South Carolina, where we have linebackers flying over to one side of the field and no one to the backside of the play. It is a calamity what Brian Kelly has done when it comes to actually coaching the team in between the white lines. Okay? I don't want to talk about the 36 scholarship shit ever again. We're in year four of this. We're in year four. It is time to put your big boy pants on and look at yourself in the mirror if you're an LSU fan and say, is this a coaching or a talent problem? Is there some talent deficiencies in particular on the offensive line? Absolutely. But our wide receiver rotation doesn't make any sense. Our running back depth doesn't make any type of sense. We cannot block at the tight end position. Another really big holding call from Bauer Sharp. And thankfully, we figured out how to use Tre'Davious Green. After starting the season with two catches for only 17 yards, boom, magic. He's the best tight end in the SEC as a receiver. So we're in a tough spot here because we don't, and I'm just going to say it. I'm going to apologize to every single one of you. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know what the F we're doing. And that's a problem. I would like to know that our coaching staff has an idea of what to do to win games in the Southeastern Conference. I would love that. I would absolutely, positively love that. Because the difference is, if you want to compare this to the Orgeron or the Miles era, is that we all knew it was rancid. We knew that there was some from the head coaching position lacking when it comes to Les or Ed. But Brian Kelly is a college football Hall of Famer who has one of the sweetest contracts in the sport of football, and we can't get timeout management correct. We can't get simple rotational aspects of the game of football correct. What Brian Kelly is known for, which is offensive line and tight end development, it is a disaster now that three guys that were drafted pretty highly are gone. In particular, Mason Taylor and Will Campbell. Those were just superstars. Those were anomalies. Where's the development? This is a bad, bad, bad coaching job. Is LSU a bad team? No. Are we an elite team? Never. Uh-uh. We're not there. We are not there. The Clemson game was smoke and mirrors. The Florida game, we caught them in a good spot. South Carolina, I don't know what happened versus Oklahoma. We'll see how that all plays out. But, you know, the season hasn't been terrible. To give you a large-scale thing before we talk about the specific plays, and it is a little bit different for me because we do live stream during the entire game now, basically, and we appreciate our partners. Programming note, we won't do it next week for Texas A&M, but we will be back doing it for every other game the rest of the way. It is shockingly bad how poorly we are coached. And oftentimes it's with our best players. Our best players are the ones that are making the big mistakes. Now, Garrett didn't make those mistakes. He was phenomenal, like we've said. But I am perplexed, even with Whit Weeks out, knowing what I saw versus Ole Miss, that you would play Harold Perkins every snap when he played as badly as he did today. It's inexcusable. I would try something new. He doesn't know what he's doing. I can't tell you how many times we're passing things off, and then you don't hustle on the fourth down play. You don't hustle. If Harold Perkins would have hustled on the fourth and goal run for a touchdown by Cedric Alexander, he would have knocked the ball loose or prevented him from actually scoring. We have got to play to the final whistle. I thought this was a team that was going to play to the final whistle, and some of the guys do. Some of the guys do. They do, okay? I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of this, okay? But here we go. Let's start with Jason. Big super chat and a membership. Good to see you. Brad Davis and Joe Sloan could stay there. Yeah, I think there's going to be changes at both of those positions. Patrick says, if we keep Brian Kelly, we're not serious about winning. He's staying. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, Nuss just needed a little bit more time. Great game from Garrett Nussmeier. Carter, we can cut the BS, find the buyout, and fire him. Like, stop. He's not going to be gone. I think that would be a little too rash knowing what the buyout is. If the buyout was lower, yeah, sure. I don't even want to think of the transfer and decommits at the end of a possible 6-6 season. This is the type of season that sets programs back 4 years. I strongly disagree with that. We're winning enough. We're showing enough to where I don't think you will have a mass exodus of players or coaches or any of that. All right, the guys that want to stay and want to be retained by Brian Kelly will stay. Okay, let's go to Michael D. I'm just done with Brian Kelly. I don't understand, when will he be held accountable? This was a poor game for BK. We just simply cannot get lined up correctly. It's so much of it is just getting lined up correctly. We can't catch the football. We can't. The Xavion Thomas drop was big, but he made up for it with the ridiculous run and catch. I feel bad because I want to be as positive as I can with LSU as we progress through this live stream. But that was a ridiculous play, and a lot of it was Garrett Nussmeier. And Xavion, you know, did a lot of the heavy lifting. All right, we get to Jason here. Jason says, if you fire Brian Kelly, you would say bye-bye to the NIL fund. Yeah, that's a 40-plus with, you know, with a lot of these big buyouts, there are some things you can do to lower it, but it's just not going to happen. Jason says, fire Kelly, say bye-bye to the NIL fund, and you'll lose Pickett. Yeah, I'm not in favor of that. Mr. B, thank you for the super chat. We really appreciate you, but I will say, if there is another coach game like this one, and you know, we get the Jason first and goal and you want to throw it, well, it worked. So it was a really bad penalty by Donovan Green. And we're big Donovan Green fans. We have said plenty of times that he should play more. It's just he's coming in cold off the bench and he commits a false start penalty. He still shouldn't do it. It's a play that's being run to the opposite side. So that's the thing, though. When you're in a spot, okay, so I'll break that down. And we'll do, and we don't do this too often, but this was such a big portion of the game. Now, does this change the outcome of the game? I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. All right, so Caden Durham, this was a tough game for Caden. There's going to be a lot of people saying we should play Harlan Berry more. Some of that is justified. Harlem did some good things, but Caden Durham gets sucked up from behind, pause, and we get a handoff up the gut. All right, not the best block from Trey Desgreen, not the best blocks across the way, but Caden still has, once again, I don't have my end zone copy just yet. There's still room for him to get this done, but he goes down here relatively easy, okay? Should he have scored here? I really don't know what happened. It's a very weird play. Did he slip here? I think he just slipped, honestly. That would, whatever the case may be, okay? That's not the big thing about this, all right? So this is the thing that we keep going. This is probably what you guys want broken down the most from the Brian Kelly coach game that you just saw. So he slips. We're short. So why is Berrion Brown doing this? What is the point in getting into a fight? All right. So the truth is, in a first and goal situation, or just in any situation, anyone that has simple football IQ knows that you just get ready for the next play. You just get ready for the next. You're a year four player. If you're a true freshman, that's one thing. And this was one of our criticisms of Berrion Brown. If you watched him closely at Kentucky, he would have some hothead moments. Okay. So you could see, and if you watch the halftime third quarter live stream or fourth quarter live stream, the game live stream, you've already seen this. So now this is working against us, where we have this distraction, and Berrion Brown is now needing to be separated by the white hat, and we need to be getting ready to run the next play. We're on the goal line. The last thing you want to do is substitute. And why don't you want to substitute? First off, Berrion Brown doing this allowed Vanderbilt to do a defensive substitution. Okay, so Vanderbilt's like, okay, there's a stoppage here. Let's go make a substitution. That's totally legal. Now Garrett's having to deal with the white hat. And look, Berrion puts us in a bad spot. Vanderbilt's able to get personnel that they want on the field. Now we're nowhere close to being lined up properly. So a lot of this is on Berrion. We should already be ready for the next play. He probably should have been whistled for a 15-yard penalty on the goal line. On the goal line. So now LSU is like, okay, let's go ahead and make our own substitutions when 15 seconds have already burned off the clock. And then you get into the overall analytics of it. We're down by 10. We are down by 10 versus a ball control offense that is so good at bleeding clock. So we need to be in a hurry-up mode. And because the game was stopped, Vanderbilt was able to do a full substitution. All right, so they get their heavier personnel out there because they're thinking we're going to run. And guess what? We're now making the longest substitution you possibly could make. Let's get Chris Hilton involved. Oh, has that ever worked? So Chris Hilton is coming in late. And he's taking Berrion Brown out from the opposite side of the field. This is the longest substitution you possibly could make. I don't think Chris Hilton has played a snap yet. So now Berrion's got to run all the way back. We're taking Aaron out of the game as well. We're making a late substitution with Aaron on the goal line. On the goal line. I can understand if you're substituting freaking Mike Allstott into the game, but no, slot wide receivers. So now, because we make a late substitution, this is what could have happened. Since we made such a late sub, the ref has to stop and let Vanderbilt make their own late subs. We only got 10 guys on the field, by the way. You notice that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Right there. 7, Hilton. 8, 9, quarterback, running back. And then at the top of your screen, 1 wide receiver. We only had 10 guys on the field. I don't know why Aaron got off the field. 8, 7, 6. Now we got to blow a timeout. It's selfish play from Berrion. Then you should probably still keep him on the field. Put Chris Hilton in, and incompetence. Incompetence. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's unacceptable. It is unacceptable. It is unacceptable. You should never, ever, 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 ever let that happen. If you had a slightly decent coached team, it should never happen. Never. But here's the thing. It would be one thing, ladies and Gentiles, it would be one thing, it would be one United States thing if this was the first game that this happened. This would be the first game. But no, it was Clemson. Clemson, we did the same shit. It was Ole Miss when we were losing. Ole Miss! Ole Miss! We do it there! God bless! What are we doing? What is this? What is this world that we're living in? What is the point of existence? Why? Why do I spend my time even doing this? I'm going to go work somewhere else. God bless America. Why? 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 And then here's the thing. If you're a wide receiver and you got a little bit of an attitude, I don't care. I don't. If you make it up as a player. But what do you do, Berrion Brown? What do? You drop it. You drop it on 3rd and 8. You drop it on 3rd and 8. You drop it on 3rd and 8. Oh. Third and eight. You drop it. I would love to go to a position group meeting on this team. I would love to go. What do we do? I guarantee you, instead of iPads, we're on the Etch-a-Sketch, drawing horses or whatever the hell. We're not actually studying what basic football IQ would tell you to do. Why? Why? Why do I give a shit? And my AC broke again. My AC's broken again. I changed out the filter. Can't even get the AC right. Can't even get the AC right. Is Brian Kelly managing my air conditioner? What kind of HVAC system is that? I thought I was just sweating a lot because I'm a hairy slob of a pig. And I went for a run this morning and I still look like an albino walrus at the end of it. And what happens? Air conditioner broke. Perfect time. Because I am in the middle of hell right now. I am in the middle of hell. And I understand we get all these different excuses. We need to do the right thing. I will not play the Brian Kelly press conference because I don't want to throw my laptop into an erupting volcano full of electric eels and molten lava, which is what I would do if I played a Brian Kelly press conference during this live stream. Oh, my God, dude. There's so many coaches on the staff that are making $750,000 a year. $750,000 plus a year. That is a life-changing sum of money. Life-changing. We continue. Let's go to Van. Thank you so much, Van. LSU is a C-plus program as long as Brian Kelly is the coach. I agree. I mean, that's where we are. I truly do mean this. Even if we had freaking Will Campbell and Munoz, if they think of any great offensive tackle, we're probably losing this game today. Coaches considered during the last head coaching search. Mel Tucker, Billy Napier, James Franklin, Jimbo Fisher. So, yeah, this might have been the best of the bunch. What does that tell you? Nobody knows shit. Nobody knows anything. Let's keep it going. Actually, Sourdough Man, hoping that Penn State comes for Brian Kelly and that he is smart enough to realize the SEC is going to ruin his stellar career. You know, you're right. I do want to go a little bit longer. Are we a C-plus program? I would say so. I will say, all you need, and Sloan was mostly good today. If we're going to be fair, a lot of it was Nuss making some amazing stuff happen. I cannot tell you how good of a Garrett Nussmeier game this was. It really was. But you can't really blame today on Joe Sloan. I mean, this was one of his better games. One great OC hire can change things really quickly. All right? I am, and I'm just going to say it, it's time. Someone has got to do it. He is one of the most popular players on this team. I am over the Harold Perkins era. I'm just over it. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying it can't work here. It's just the idea that he is an every down player goes against all logic of how Harold actually worked when he was at his peak. I would not be shocked if we played him on every play again today. And we played him on every possible snap versus Ole Miss. So it's not just a Whit Weeks thing being out. All right, he's kind of in a different sort of position group anyway. It's time. It's time. I'm interested in making a few big changes on defense. Not having him as an every down player. And then putting the green dot on someone else. All right, the green dot communication is way more important on offense than it is on defense. Where, of course, the green dot is the quarterback. Now, I don't know for certain that Harold Perkins had the green dot. I probably should have looked. But that's a very important communication. And normally Harold's not the one in the middle making all the checks. So we have him. If he is the one with the green dot, that means he has communication in his ears up to 15 seconds until the play actually is run. And he's still constantly way out of position. And here's the thing. Especially on defense, it is so hard to know whose job is whose. But go back to the Ole Miss game and go back to this game. The direction where he is lined up is where the big plays are run. And the Pavia scramble touchdown, we broke it down. That's why it's very important you actually watch our stream while it's going on, because I have my own little game going on and I'm able to break down the plays about 5 or so minutes after they happen. The Pavia touchdown run was opposite of where Perk was lined up, but we overcompensated in that direction, and there actually should have been a touchdown pass in that direction. And it goes down to what I have always said. When it comes to defense, the offensive talent is too good in the modern game. 7-on-7 camps, all these receivers are good. Okay, these quarterbacks are so good. just make it hard on him. And the thing that's interesting is Diego Pavia is very good. But if you actually make him work from the pocket, so let's take the final throw where we were burned deep to Marcus Cooley was burned over the top. And it was dropped by the receiver. That's what we should have been doing. Make them have to convert those types of plays. Even though it should have been caught, let's just not let them play pitch and catch with their tight ends. That's what they want you to do. That's what they want. That's what they want to do. It was a brutal Blake Baker game. This is the second Blake Baker game that was bad. And the other was Ole Miss. And I honestly think a lot of this gets fixed if you don't have Harold Perkins out there every snap. I'm serious. Just give it a shot. Okay? And this isn't just a Perk thing. Our run fits were off. We had a few instances to make tackles on Pavia. It's really hard to do it in the open field. Our defensive end room was really depleted with no Jamari Butler and no, obviously, Relaford, which has been a few weeks now. We're playing Carpenter more. We played C.J. Jackson. A lot of you are probably hearing about him for the first time, number 14, a year two player out of Georgia. And we were playing a lot of different guys. And our defensive line, I think, overall held up fine on just like simple runs with the running backs. But that started to wear as the game moved on. Our defensive backs are really good in this game. It was another good Halsey game, another good DeLang game. He's doing what he's doing. And that's the thing is you do begin to wonder how much of what we have done defensively is it just our stars propping up this unit? Because Witt probably takes a touchdown or so off the board from Vanderbilt. Okay. Mr. B, thank you. Appreciate it. But yeah, I mean, I just don't even know. I just don't even know what we need to do. I do think the A&M game sets up nicely for LSU. I do. Let's go to a few comments. Former players. Fioco. Culture problem. T-Bob, culture problem. No toughness on this team. Oh, look. There's Van. It's a problem. I normally play some BK audio. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it, y'all. I don't know if I can do it. It's okay to admit, and you could still be a fan. You could still be a fan. All right. It's okay to admit he's not that good. He's not as good as he was at Notre Dame. And honestly, if you look historically at when coaches leave for another job, a lot of the bad mouthing from the former fan base is normally somewhat directionally accurate. Now, did Notre Dame go overboard with some of it? Sure. But a lot of the stuff that they were saying was true. It just was. A lot of the stuff that they were saying was true. And that's tough, okay? And in particular, in this society, we as a culture don't do a good enough job to admit we were wrong, okay? Now, is BK a terrible coach? No, he's not terrible. He's not a terrible coach. He's not that great either, okay? And then, my goodness gracious. I mean, I kind of just want to do my film study now. I want to do it live. We can do it live. Actually, we do need to go to a quick break. This, what you're about to witness is one of the most insane plays I think I can remember. And that's coming up right after this.
Are you missing that sweet swing? If pain is holding your golf game back, you must check out the full simulator at the Lafayette location of LeBoard Therapy Center. Yes, Chase and his team built this simulator to go along with a full set of programs catered to your needs. Yes, this entire team at LeBoard Therapy worked hard to fix that back, your elbow, shoulders, wrists, knees, toes. It doesn't matter. At their Lafayette location, 337-981-4053. Call today. But what if you don't golf? And what if you don't live in Lafayette? No problem. They fix anything therapy related. Book today, LeBoardTherapy.com, with locations in Carncrow, Youngsville, Morgan City, and Crowley. LeBoardTherapy.com.
PHL Nation, it's time to lock in and get serious really quickly with our friends at Fortified Gulf Coast and FortifiedGulf.com. This is my buddy Ramey. He is one of many Fortified Gulf Coast inspection professionals that are doing something to help you not only save your home, but your memories.
The Fortified program got started about 13 years ago. We adopted it here in New Orleans about 2.5 years ago. It's a more advanced way of doing the roof. It adds an extra layer of protection, whereas even if a hurricane was to pull the shingles off this roof, water will still not get into the house.
So yes, your establishment is important, but what about the things you can't replace? That family scrapbook, or that painting that's been handed down from Meemaw to Papaw and to you? It is important to protect that today with Fortified Roofing. And while this seems like a priceless asset, did you know it can actually save you on your homeowner's insurance up to 37% if you are in South Louisiana? Just call the number 504-444-7563. That's 504-444-7563, or visit fortifiedgulf.com. That's FortifiedGulf.com. Let's go. Yeah, I don't know if I want to play this. I do want to advise you, and this is true. There are families that watch PHL as a whole, okay? And when they watch as a nuclear family, this is about to be very explicit content. I just want you to know. I'm going to give you time to change it. If your eyes cannot handle what you're about to see, you have time to change the channel. Let's add a Team Palmer. Everybody, welcome Team Palmer to the channel. Oh, look, you're smiling here. I don't know if it's both of y'all sending the super chat, but welcome to the channel. I wish I was in a more jovial mood. Y'all welcome Team Palmer. Listening to BK would be a waste. He says the same excuses every time. I have to do better. It'd be infuriating. Okay. All right. You've had your chance. What happens here at left tackle is illegal. We'll go ahead and run this beautiful bean footage. And this is where we are as an offensive line, our backup left tackle. Once again, backup. Ends up getting our right tackle destroyed too. To make matters worse, who is even open on this play? I mean, obviously Trades, but that's getting chopped down pretty quickly. Garrett could have still thrown this to Trades, but I also understand not trying to get that swatted. Also, I will say, once again, this is at slow-mo. Attack a 300-pound human being falling down right in front of you changes a lot. All right, it doesn't help that Weston Davis is getting drilled right into his lap. Actually, Garrett is getting out of this if Weston Davis didn't. I thought Garrett didn't get out of this because he's just not really a mover. But Weston Davis getting beat. And once again, it's a deep drop, so it's not the worst here from Weston. But Weston getting beat here is actually what got Garrett tripped. He's actually spinning out of this. It was Davis. You could see that the end here actually tackles the wrong guy. He tackles a right tackle. Also, if you're just joining us, there was a massive, massive missed intentional grounding. And we did not have the wherewithal to point it out to the referees. We might have. The cameras might not have shown it. But this also happened versus Ole Miss. We have a dead sideline. Our sideline's dead. Because someone should have at least pointed out to Brian Kelly that's intentional grounding. It was Pavia threw the ball directly out of bounds. It would have forced them to burn a timeout because it would have been classified as a sack. It also would have pushed them back on field goal range. And they won the middle eight because of it. So they kicked the field goal, add the momentum going into the half. Then they get the ball first, and that was a 10-point swing, and they drive down and score. All right. Now, once again, I pointed out the shortcomings plenty of times to DJ Chester. He fought valiantly as a backup left tackle. But, man. Sherry Berry says, I don't think we get to 9-3, more like 8-4. And we do it every week. Thanks again to our friends at Zion Imaging and the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth Experience. Let's go to the box scores. As we always do, we check the yard per play comparison. And what do you know? LSU offensively, 6.6 yards per play compared to Vanderbilt 6. Now, a little misleading because Vanderbilt at the end was playing a little keep away, and kneel downs do affect this. But this was a good offensive game when you average 6.6 yards per play. So where did LSU fall short? Well, one thing, and this will come off as a Garrett Nussmeier criticism. I will not criticize Garrett for what he did today. It was phenomenal. But you do see in the red zone in particular how important it is to actually have a QB who can give you something with his legs. It's so big. And that was honestly made worse by our defensive incompetence in this game. So it's on both sides, right? And you look at some of the other games that LSU has won, close games over the past couple of decades, in particular in the Jaden and Joe era, we just had such a big advantage with the QB run game in pretty much all those games, even with Joe Burrow. And we lose the red zone battle every time. We also lose the QB run game battle so often because, yes, Garrett can't run, but you take the good, and today was a lot of good. And then you also take the bad, which is, of course, we cannot stop quarterbacks who can run. All right. Now, we've had a few bad transitive property losses. So what is a transitive property loss per se? Well, it's results from other games versus common opponents. We struggled at times with South Carolina. We beat them 20-10 last week. Oklahoma, with the quarterback playing with one hand, is beating them 26-7 right now. Obviously, the Clemson win doesn't look all that great now. So, yeah, I mean, we're just not a good team. We are not a good football team. So we continue with the box score numbers. Big game today from Harlan Berry, 11 carries, 55 yards. Caden Durham, 7 carries, 59 yards. Man, Caden Durham last year is housing that touchdown, though. For him to get sucked up in that spot was very, very, very interesting. He's not fully healthy. And then we get to the LSU receiving. And Caden did favor his ankle a little bit earlier in the game. Another big game for Trey Des Green. 5 catches, 74 yards. All right. So this will get clipped as me hating. All right. You want to know the sign of a bad, bad, bad football team? It was Trey Des Green's touchdown. Okay. Ridiculous throw from Garrett. All right, so they brought in all-out pressure. We had Trey Des Green on the delay leak. I'm glad we were running more of those plays. It's been one of our better plays. It's everyone's best plays, these little tight end leaks. I am telling you right now, the way you feel about Trey Des Green is so different if they review that play. Because it did look close that he dropped the football right at the goal line. All right. So one of the most iconic plays in LSU history was a Tyrann Mathieu punt return versus Georgia. He did that, threw the ball to the official. Thank God they didn't review that. A little bit different. We won the game and Tyrann was Tyrann. But there was just a famous example of this with the Arizona Cardinals. Why are we not telling our guys? This should be taught in every single locker room. Carry the football all the way through the goal line. Don't let go of it until your heels are touching the back of the end zone. Trey Des dropped that ball right at the goal line. I'm very shocked it was not reviewed at the very least. I do think your opinion of it changes, though, if it was reviewed and you would see how close it was and how crazy it is to do that thing. And that's the thing. If you're not really that good of a football team, these little things matter so much. Okay? It matters so much. Okay? But yeah, that should never happen. And that should never, ever, ever happen. And it almost did. I mean, there's just so many different things. I will also tell you that LSU has a wide receiver problem, okay? Xavion, that was a ridiculous play. This just is not that great of a group. It's a group that lacks identity. It's a group that is in a weird rotation. We almost have two, and I say almost, we have way too many cooks in the kitchen. All right, so you have Kyle Parker, and then you have Aaron Anderson. All right, Kyle has this amazing game, but Aaron's back from injury, and Aaron's always been our guy. He's been the best receiver of the Garrett Nussmeier era. All right, but they're both playing well. Now you have Trey Des Green in the fold. Well, it's kind of hard for all of this to work. Because Trey Des Green is not a tight end. All right, so you have him at a tight end, but you kind of have to use him as a receiver. So now you're having to play Bauer Sharp more because you want to have a tight end on the field where you're technically in 12 personnel, but you're really in 11. Then, yeah, Berrion Brown, who was bad today, atrocious. You had Xavion Thomas, who gave you a ridiculous play, and then also a bad drop. Then you have Chris Hilton, who is mostly playing special teams. And then randomly on the goal line last week, this was something I didn't bring up in the live stream, but it is something. So the Garrett Nussmeier fumble at the goal line last week versus South Carolina was weird because out of nowhere at the goal line, we decided to sub in Destin Hill. For what? Just to get him some playing time? So we have a gazillion wide receivers. A gazillion. We have four or five other scholarship receivers who you can make a case could play. And then we don't talk about Nick Anderson, who got a really good NIL check to come here. Now, how much he got paid is of varying degrees of reports, I guess you could say. But, man, what has he been to this offense? Kind of a non-factor. Guys aren't getting open. Now, some of it is scheme. So, yeah, I will tell you, there needs to be a conversation to be had about Cortez Hankton. There needs to be, okay? Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. I do want to watch some actually good football teams play. Yeah, we do have Flage. Brian Kelly, 11-11 on the road in the SEC. Oh, yeah, we did, Brian. I just don't know. I will say, I don't think, and this will come off wrong. I don't think our assistant coaches or just coaches in general like coaching with each other. So what do I mean by that? It seems as if we have so many different pieces that don't work in cohesion with one another. If that makes sense. You know, it's interesting that you had the Carius Kern situation and then you have the injury. You would have thought, hey, maybe we could go to Carius Kern in this game. But now you're wondering, hey, is it time to just redshirt Carius Kern and just live to fight another down or live to fight another day? I don't know. Vanderbilt played Colin Baton Rouge. We had so many more fans at the game. I do want to shout this out. I tried to in the pregame, but I couldn't quite get to it. And we'll get into a little bit more breakdown. But so I joked around. I didn't think this would actually happen. But my wife's in Nashville right now. She went to go see Keith Urban. So that's her FaceTiming me from the show. And that is her to the left. Okay. So then I said, hey, I'll say hi to Hay if you see her. So she FaceTimed me. And then the guy, there was just a guy standing like when she was walking in. And he was like, wait, is that Power Hour LSU? So this is Ryan from Georgia. I don't remember his friend's name. That's cool. I appreciate the PHL Army out there. Just to share some positivity before I absolutely rail into this again. Okay. Do y'all want BK audio? Do y'all want BK audio? All right. Really good question for Sherry. Ask Carter, do you think LSU should have gone for it on fourth down? And I might start doing the Ask Carter hashtag. Steal one for my buddy Old Rufino. At the end of the game, instead of giving them the ball back. Yes, I think you should have gone for it. And I said it at the time too. And it's complicated because the math is probably in between on that. On fourth and eight, and you're down by seven. Okay. So, Brian Kelly's model, whatever it is on fourth and eight, is probably telling him it's close. But if we are in an it's close situation, you should always, to me, lean towards being more aggressive. And something else about whether or not you want to go for it on fourth and eight. If you're down by four, it would make more sense to punt the football, okay? But you have to think of it this way, and I don't think the models, and when I say model, I'm saying the fourth down bot. So every team has an algorithm that predetermines what you're going to do on fourth down, and that algorithm could only do so much. What you would need to calibrate for is, in particular versus Vanderbilt, a team that specializes in burning every second of the play clock, a team that is good at running the football, you really should consider on fourth and eights to go for it. And since you were backed up into your own territory, what the model does not account for is that Vanderbilt just needs a field goal to end the game. So I think LSU punted on fourth and eight from its own 25 or 30 yard line. So a perfect punt is probably getting the football at best to Vanderbilt's 30 yard line at the absolute best. I mean, that's an absolute moonshot, 25 or 30 yard line. And you do have a good punter in Chadwick. Okay. So you make that punt and then you have to not prevent a touchdown, you have to defend against a field goal. So if it's the third quarter and you're punting on fourth and eight and you're holding them to a field goal to make it a 10-point game, that's different because it's the third quarter. But in the fourth quarter, when you know a field goal practically ends it, there is more value in going for it on fourth and eight instead of punting the football back. And this would be what Brian Kelly would say to me. He would say, Carter, well, if I go for it and I don't get it on fourth and eight, then that automatically puts Vanderbilt in field goal range. Good. Good. Because if your defense hasn't been stopping anyone anyway, you will get the football back quicker. And if you get a fourth and eight stop, Vanderbilt's play calling is probably going to be more conservative in that spot as well. So I'm fine with going for it there. I actually would have gone for it. Something else Brian Kelly would push back against is that the defense for LSU did have previous stops on each of the last two possessions. All right. But what happened to all the other possessions? You had one other stop, and that was because Wes Weeks went Super Saiyan. Now, what else about that decision? Well, I want to talk about one decision that I made. So a few years ago, and the reason why I bring Haley up is that she was in Nashville and staying with her parents. She has a bunch of friends in Nashville she could have stayed with. She's from there. Now, she's from Arkansas, but she lived a good bit of her life in Nashville. So it's a big deal for her to go to Nashville. I could have gone to this game, but I had high school football obligations. And if you guys want to hear me do play-by-play, I could send you the link. I was going nuts last night. Either way, though, and my goal one day is to do a play-by-play game on ESPN. Do something national with college football or the NFL for ESPN. I would love to. That's my dream. Or Fox or wherever. Amazon Prime. But I'm so glad I did not go. Oh, my God. Could I imagine? I would have said, y'all, I just need to go to Tootsie's and get shat-faced. Or a friend of the channel, Lainey Wilson, she's got a bar. I would have gone there and just gotten obliterated. $12.50 Bahama Mamas. I would have just been downing my sorrows. I say downing, drowning my sorrows. Oh, man. Samuel Course, man. All right, y'all. I think that's just about going to do it for me. I do have other SEC stuff I have to do. And then, of course, we have the film study. God bless. Y'all, I just don't know. I just don't. I have no idea why my air. And let me go fix this air conditioning. If the air conditioning's not fixed, hold on. My air is broken, so it is shattered. I'm doing film in a damn sauna today. God, dude, there is a void in my soul. That will not be filled anytime soon. I just don't even know what to do with myself. Now it is froze up. It keeps happening. So what I need to do, that's what it probably is. I need to turn it off. All right, let me go turn this off. I do have one more thing I want to
say. Let's go! On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com.
Marcus Freeman or Lane Kiffin? No, I don't. And we talk about this all the time on PHL. You've got to factor in price. The price is ridiculous. If you want to pay the $50 million buyout, go right, or whatever the buyout is, go right on ahead. Now, to the Fire BK crowd out there, Texas A&M fired it and they brought someone else in and they're rolling. Penn State, they're doing it right now. So, you know. Please, no Urban Meyer. God bless. I don't know why his name keeps getting brought up. I don't think Brian Kelly doesn't care. I think he cares. I don't think I could get there. I mean, he's got buy-in as well. But there is a lot of also selfish play mixed in there as well. Oh, man. Let's go to Sibley. It is different, though. To Sibley's point, it is different. I don't think it's a be-all, end-all, because obviously Saban's from the North, but it is a little bit different now. So I do think so. Jaden Daniels, whiskey. No, he's not coming back. Denbrock's good. Yeah. It just sucks watching actual football teams. Ole Miss is a better program than us right now. Let that go through. Ole Miss, and I wouldn't say Vanderbilt's a better program, but if you were to not know anything about the teams this year, and one of those teams was LSU and one of those teams was Vanderbilt, which it was, which team would you think would be LSU? Which team do you think would be Vanderbilt? All right, do you want to hear the Brian Kelly audio? I didn't go back and saw the whys here. It makes you want to get into coaching. It doesn't matter if you're a film guy like me. I'm not some expert or anything like that. But yeah, I would take a high school job, sure. I don't know what I would do per se. We could play some BK audio. I've cooled down a little bit, so I don't think I'm going to throw my laptop into an erupting volcano full of electric eels, like I said a little bit earlier. We'll get to a super real quick, though. Kelly's going nowhere, and Woodward knows nothing about football coaches. Kelly, Jimbo Fisher, bring in Dannon as a consultant and hire assistant coaches for Kelly. Who is Dannon? Let me know. All right. Here's the head football coach.
Yeah, a disappointing day, obviously. I just told our team, we had opportunities. We didn't cash in on them. From an offensive standpoint, we had three opportunities to score that were field goals. And look, our guys know we were playing a team that was going to make it very difficult for us to possess the football. We had three possessions in the first half, so it's like playing triple option. And we did not play well enough on either side of the ball to be the better team today. And Vanderbilt was the better team today because they executed at a higher level. So when you look at it in its totality, defensively, not enough stops. And offensively, when we had an opportunity to score touchdowns, we had to kick field goals. And that was the difference in the game.
Coach, with Vanderbilt's offense, how were they able to sort of manipulate you guys defensively throughout the day?
Well, I go back to what I said. It's when you play an offense like this, it's the details. And being in the right place and having eye discipline, making the plays when they come your way, is paramount to slowing them down. And we just didn't do a good enough job on the details when it came to trying to defend this offense.
Coach, you had two possessions late in the game with a chance to drive and tie it, and mm-hmm. I think you went three plays and out each time. What did you see there?
Well, we had the big penalty, obviously. We had the completion for a first down, got a holding penalty on that one. Again, the offense had mustered, some things offensively that we had been lacking. But when our defense made a couple of stops, we couldn't turn those into positive possessions. And obviously those two in particular, but more importantly, it was cashing in on first and goal from the one. I mean, you got to score a touchdown there. I mean, that to me is, you know, we jump offside and you know, we could pick a couple of plays, Jacques. The bottom line is we didn't score touchdowns when we kicked field goals, and we didn't play well enough defensively to give us enough possessions to win the game.
Jack, what landed in the decision to punt on 4th and 8 there at the end of the game?
Well, we got the ball back, right?
No.
4th and 8.
Yeah, before
that. Oh, yeah, we used our timeouts. We had 2 timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. So in that situation, you know, you're trying to get one more shot at it, and we certainly felt like that was the right decision at that time. Was there a false start and a delay game?
You called the timeout to avoid the delay again.
Yeah, so the timeout I didn't have a particular problem with. It was making sure we had the right personnel in for the call, which we did, and consequently had the touchdown call back after the procedure penalty. We got to punch it in on 1st and goal from the 1. I mean, we'll look at that on film. But again, I think overall, that's the frustrating part of where we are offensively is not scoring touchdowns but kicking field goals.
All right. I want to play this over again. And I appreciate the reporters specifically asking about this.
The timeout I didn't have a particular problem with. It was...
Okay.
Was there a false start and a delay game?
You called the timeout to avoid the delay again.
Yeah, so the timeout I didn't have a particular problem with. Oh, yeah, we used our timeouts. We had 2 timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. So in that situation, you know, you're trying to get one more shot at it. And we certainly felt like that was the right decision at that time. Was there a false start and a delay game?
You called the timeout to avoid the delay again.
Yeah, so the timeout I didn't have a particular problem with.
Okay. Huge red flag. If we're talking about the same thing, because there was a timeout burned in the first half. If he is referencing the timeout before the touchdown or the lack thereof of a touchdown before the illegal procedure penalty by Donovan Green, he says the touchdown he did not have a problem with. That's nonsense. That is nonsensical stuff. Yeah, you should have a major problem. You're down by 10. All right. And if you're down by 10 in the fourth quarter, there is a high likelihood that you're going to need to be using those timeouts as a time-saving mechanism at the end of the game.
We got to punch it in on 1st and goal from the 1. I mean, we'll look at that on film. But again, I think overall, that's the frustrating part of where we are offensively is not scoring touchdowns but kicking field goals.
Corey, Brian, you guys' first drive today did get points. It's the first time it's happened this season, but you still had to settle for 3. But did you feel like when you guys were able to put points on the board that maybe something you found something you could sustain throughout the afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, I thought when we rallied there in the third quarter with, the touchdown and 2-point play, got it to 3. You know, obviously then, you know, they drive the length of the field and it's a bit deflating at that. But we come right back, you know, and we just can't punch it in and we kick a field goal there. We needed to match scores for scores. And then we needed a couple of stops. And look, we can go back and forth. This game was about details. Their details were better. And, you know, we had a plan for Vanderbilt's offense, and we didn't execute it to the highest level. And then from an offensive standpoint, there were some good things there. But, again, I think the thing that stands out is not scoring touchdowns when you have an opportunity.
Coach, with Javier's ability to scramble, what made him so tough to corral today, especially if there's a lot of man coverage in the back?
Look, I mean, Koki, it's a good question. You know, we feel like we game planned and knew what his abilities are in terms of his ability to scramble. We had people that were assigned for that, and we just didn't execute at the highest level that we needed to against a really good quarterback.
Brian, obviously you have to look at it and say you still can win all your games, you feel like you can, but everybody knows what a tough road you have in front of you. How do you keep this loss from multiplying?
It's a competitive group. You know, they have a lot of pride. They're going to play hard. We just have to play smarter and cleaner. You know, I'm not worried about the guys not wanting to play at their very best. They're going to play at their very best. They're still in it. You know, they got Texas A&M at home. Then they get a week off, and then it's a four-game race to the SEC championship. And so, yeah, it's a disappointing loss. There's no doubt. It's going to sting. But they've got to bounce back right to reality and know that they've got to play mistake-free against their outstanding A&M team.
Can I ask? John?
Did it feel like it was a fast-moving game because they possessed the ball, the possession for limited in the game?
Yeah, again, I would go back to the days that I used to have to defend Navy, Air Force, and Army. Those games, by the time you look up, you've had three possessions. We had three possessions in the first half. And so each play is magnified. Each play in itself is an important part of the game. And so we've stressed it all week. We talked about it, but yet it didn't come to fruition when we needed it to.
Got time for a couple more. Court,
is there any update on Tyree?
It was an ankle. Yeah, I knew it was an ankle. That's all they told me.
Koki, last one.
For now, Bernard and Witt, how much did that sort of affect things from a game planning standpoint?
Look, I mean, everybody's going to have injuries in this league. Everybody's going to have top guys out. Our next man needs to step up and get the job done. We're not going to fall back on, you know, we didn't have a left tackle, we didn't have this guy, we didn't have that guy. We had good enough players in there to win the game. And we just didn't execute at the highest level necessary against a team that played really well today. That other than their fourth down turnover on downs, they played flawless. And when you play a team like that, that's going to take care of the football, is going to eat clock and limit your possessions, you equally have to play to that level. And we just.
God, QB run game is so big in the red zone. We've seen it in this Georgia Ole Miss game. In the college game, it's so, so, so big. And once again, you can't really say too much about Garrett in this game, knowing that he played so well. But you know, Brian Kelly kept going to the red zone. Marcus said Cignetti would have us unbeatable right now. Wow, that's $11 million. You want to do it? You want to do it? No, he's not leaving that job. He gets $92 million guaranteed if they said, look, we're going to fire you tomorrow. I don't know. I mean, what do you want? You want me to do his post game show too? I have no idea. LSU is going to the bowl. Well, they're at 5-2 now. They will beat Western Kentucky. Obviously, if they win out, they go to the playoff. See, I'm watching Ole Miss play. I love that when the play is over, they're just going on to the next play. I understand we want to do all that first down shit. Just get ready for the next play. I don't care if you do it quickly, but go get ready. Think about what's next. We were terrible at that offensively. It's like a big play, and then, all right, let's regroup, get together, hang out, play patty cake. Just get ready for the next damn play. All right, y'all. That'll do it for me. Shout out to all our super chatters. Peter. Team Parker. Mr. B. Sourdough Man. Stutza, Van, Mr. B, Jason, thank you. Patrick, Benny, Ryry, Michael, and Jamie joining the membership. And I want to shout out this name. Sent me a Venmo as well. And his name is Ephesial Dylan. I love that name. Ephesial. Or is it S-Fall? Or Ish-Pal? I think it's Ish-Pal. Thank you, Ish-Pal. Appreciate you. We will have a film study tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and we will be live tomorrow at 8 p.m. Central. And it is! Power Hour LSU. Boom! Tonight we are doing... I don't know what we're doing. Jack and Coke. How about that? Huh?